Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
A ship sank in the middle of the ocean, and most of the passengers died. But one man died who didn't have to. You see, there were not enough life vests, but this man had one. He had one, and he gave it away. He gave it to another man, saying, "You take mine, I can die better than you can." What makes it possible for one man to die better? For there is a day when the dead will be raised to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What do you know about that day of resurrection, that resurrection from the dead that all will experience?
For the world.
We're so happy that you've decided to join us today for this time of Bible study to know and to spread God's Word. If you would open your Bible and study with us today, we're continuing our study from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we've entitled this particular study, "God Will Call, I Will Answer." This phrase is taken from Job chapter 14, and we begin our reading there in verse 14. Job asks the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, I will answer you." This is a reference to the day of resurrection, for it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. But there is also a great day of resurrection. In fact, two different resurrections are mentioned on this day in John chapter 5, beginning our reading in about verse 28. There is a resurrection unto life for those who have been obedient, and there is a resurrection unto condemnation for those who have been disobedient. We began our study by noticing the first 11 verses of this great chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul there declares the resurrection from the dead. He does so by his preaching, by the proofs that he offered, for there were many who were still alive who had seen the resurrected Christ, and if he came back from the dead, then the resurrection from the dead is a fact. And also by the personal effect on the life of Paul. For Paul saw this resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, and having seen him, his life was changed dramatically. It is because of this change that we see in Paul that we can know for a fact that Jesus did come back from the dead. We then notice in verses 12 through 19 that the resurrection is denied by many. Paul declared the resurrection, and him being an apostle of Christ, an inspired man of God, that should be sufficient for all of us. However, there were many of that day who denied the resurrection from the dead, and there are many today who deny it as well. Paul tells us here, beginning in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead?" It does not make sense for Christ to have come back from the dead, yet at the same time to deny that the dead can be raised. When God speaks on a matter, man must yield to what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, shows us the difference in what our attitude should be toward the Word of God and the Word of men. Paul praises those of Thessalonica because they accepted the gospel as it truly was, the Word of God. That means that there should be a respect for it, and when God has spoken on a certain matter, that settles the issue. What man's opinion on the matter is, at that point, becomes inconsequential. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, Peter talked about the fact that he knew that they had not followed cunningly devised fables. They had not been tricked by people, but rather he and the other apostles, by extension, were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. No one had fooled them. They knew that Jesus came back from the dead. So, why is it that some would deny the resurrection from the dead? In the following verses of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 13, Paul there talks about seven different things that must be true. Seven things that have to be facts if, in fact, Jesus did not come back from the dead. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then according to verse 13, we have an unraised Christ. If there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not raised? Now, the implications of this are many. If Jesus came claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be the Savior of the world, yet he died at the hands of man and could not come back from the dead, he is not our Savior. If Jesus did not come back from the dead, why should we expect to be raised from the dead in the last day? If Jesus did not come back from the dead, we have no reason to believe that death is not the end of all mankind, that he simply dies and ceases to exist. Yet the fact that he did come back from the dead shows us that there is a life after death, and that is the life that we must prepare for. So if there is no resurrection from the dead, then number one, Christ has not been raised. Number two, the preaching of Paul and all of the other apostles and all who proclaim the gospel message is a useless message. If Christ be not raised, then our preaching is vain. That word vain means empty. If Jesus did not come back from the dead, then what good would it do to preach a Savior who was dead? It's very clear to us, and should have been very clear to the people of that day, that all of the hope that we have is predicated upon the resurrection from the dead, the fact that Jesus did come back from the dead, and that we will one day be raised in order to have that eternal reward. The end of verse 14 shows us that not only is the preaching vain, but our faith that's based on that preaching is also vain. The Bible has much to say about faith. There is a saving faith, a faith that will move man to acts of obedience and repentance. But there's also a dead faith. This is a faith that does not move man to do as he should. And here we find that there is a vain faith. Our faith in God and Christ as our Savior would be an empty faith if he did not come back from the dead. Verses 15 and 16 then indicate that not only is it an empty preaching that the apostles did, but it would have been a lie if Jesus had not come back from the dead. Beginning in verse 15, he says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." Paul is trying to explain to them that you cannot accept the preaching of inspired men as being true and reject the resurrection from the dead, because they preached that message. If it is true that the dead rise not, then Christ has not been raised, and all of this teaching the apostles did regarding the resurrection of Christ, the coming resurrection of all mankind, indicates that they were liars, that they had not preached the truth. We need to understand all of the implications of a position before we decide to hold it. The Bible is a very simple and very clear book, yet many times man reads it and jumps to a quick conclusion without fully considering the implications of that conclusion. If we are to conclude that the dead are not raised, we need to understand that means that Christ was not raised. The preaching of the apostles was a useless preaching. The faith that we have based on their message is a useless faith. Not only that, but their testimony is untrue, that they were liars and did not speak the truth. But the implications are much greater than that. For in verse 17, Paul says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." If the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised from the dead, and we have no forgiveness of our sins. It was important that Jesus die for the sins of mankind. For the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, according to the Hebrews writer. And Jesus, seven different times, the book of Hebrews declares, died once for the sins of all mankind. The Hebrews writer shows us that we live under a better covenant today, and one of the reasons is that it is based on a better sacrifice. It's based on the sacrifice of the Christ upon the cross. However, if Jesus did not come back from the dead, his death would have been empty. I could die for my sins, but I could not come back from the dead, and I could not serve as a Savior for others' sins. Jesus not only died for the sins of man, but he was resurrected from the dead. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 3, this was one of the ways that God with power declared that Jesus was in fact his Son. And if the dead rise not, and Christ is not raised from the dead, then we are yet in our sins. Notice the words of Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Now how is this that God has begotten us again, made us born again to a lively hope? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We would have no lively hope. In fact, we would have no hope at all if Jesus had not come back from the dead. the same chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 1, in verse 21, Peter tells us that it is through Christ that we do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Our faith, our hope, our forgiveness of sins, all of this is founded on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And without that resurrection, all of these things are useless. Verse 18 then shows us that if there is no resurrection from the dead, then we have an unending separation from those who have passed before us. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. See, the Bible refers to death for a Christian as being sleep, because it is temporary. There is a day of resurrection where he can live again and live forever with God in heaven. However, we will not have that great reunion with those that we love in heaven if the dead are not raised. And verse 19, because of this, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then we have great misery. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We look for a greater thing than this life, a greater hope, a greater joy, and greater blessings than this life has to offer. We seek these things and we find them in Christ, but only if there is a resurrection from the dead. As we've seen so far in this great study, Paul declared the resurrection of Christ by his preaching, yet many did not believe it. Unfortunately, it's that way many times when the Bible is taught. Man hears it. He hears the truth of God's Word, yet he does not obey it. We hope that you'll continue your study, that you will have the open and honest heart necessary to look into God's Word, to see what it says, and then to obey it, to actually do what God's Word says, for only then will it truly benefit you.